Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Will you please stand and join me in our call to worship? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Come from all directions, from all walks of life. Come, young and old, rich and poor, believers and doubters. Come all. You are called and loved by God. Amen. You may be seated. Hear this invitation to the observance of the Lenten discipline. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled in penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now bow before our Creator and Redeemer. We'll sing together number 292, the first two verses of What Wondrous Love Is This. And you need your hymnals this evening, number 292. Our Old Testament lesson for this evening, it's found in the Old Testament book of the prophet Joel, the second chapter. And I'll be reading verses 1 and 2, and then verses 12 through 17. Listen now to the word of our Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again for after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? And our New Testament lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through chapter 6, verse 10. Listen once again to the word of our Lord. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made him sin. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown, yet we are known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing but possessing everything. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that we have the opportunity on this Ash Wednesday, this first day of Lent, to pause, to be marked and reminded of who we are and of who you are. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word in Christ. Amen. As Joe read for us from the prophet Joel, the Old Testament ashes represented repentance, a realization that we are really nothing apart from God but dust and ash. And so on Ash Wednesday, we recognize our mortality with the sobering phrases like when we receive the ashes, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It seems so simple, so symbolic. But just like everything else in our culture, even ashes have moved from something to be sober about to something to celebrate. As more and more people choose cremation in their mortuary options, some people have jumped on the trend and offered a way for you and your loved ones to put your ashes to good use. For example, a typical human cremation, I know you didn't expect this on Ash Wednesday, but here it is. We're talking about ashes here. So a typical human cremation yields the amount of ash that's equivalent to a 5-pound bag of sugar. So most people just keep those ashes in an urn or scatter them about. But now it's possible to actually turn at least some of your ashes into a stunning work of art for all posterity to see. I saw an interesting article in the Salt Lake Tribune a few years ago about a company called Eternal Arts. For $300 to $400 and 2 cups of your cremains, you can be made into a classic sculpture. Imagine, for example, your ashes worked into a replica of Rodin's The Thinker or Michelangelo's Pietà. Perhaps your tastes run more in the popular realm. Perhaps you'd like to become the Statue of Liberty or a bust of Napoleon or Alexander the Great. Of course, you can go high end as well. Having your ashes worked into a 20-inch statue of Jesus would cost you about $800. And if you want a custom bust made of yourself, if you're that vain, they can do that too. It's a lot more, but it's possible. Then there's another company that's called Life Gem that goes a step further. Taking the carbon from human ashes, they turn them into man-made diamonds. Imagine yourself as jewelry. And think of the implications of that. You get engaged, you give your bride a diamond ring, and imagine saying to her, not, this was my grandmother's, but this is my grandmother. It could be a new fashion trend. Call it creepy chic, if you will. Now, sure, this kind of stuff would be hard for most of us to consider, although some of you may be going, hey, Why not, you know? But it does raise an interesting question. And that is, what do we want to become eventually? That's a great question for Lent. It's a shame to think that our lives could simply be boiled down to a monument of ash, a conversation piece, a ring, a cheesy statue on the mantle. Lent reminds us, though, that God is calling us to be a whole lot more. At some point, the Bible reminds us all that we're going to be reduced to ash. Death is a reality. But Lent reminds us that it's not a permanent reality. And so as we go through these 40 days, we're reminded that God has broken into our ash heap of a world and offered new life, resurrection, a fresh start. See, God's not interested in our monuments of ash, our tributes to our own accomplishments, or our bad taste. Rather, God is interested in the person that we're becoming, both now and in the future. In Christ, God has broken into the world and given us a reason to hope beyond hope, to see death, even death, as a means to life. What we do now, who we are now, matters in an eternal context. One of my favorite movies is Russell Crowe in Gladiator, you know, and there's that great line in that movie that he shouts to his men. He says, remember, what we do in life echoes into eternity. We have a meaning beyond this dusty reality of who we are right now. The good news of Lent is that God wants to remold and make us in his image, not our own. The disciplines of prayer and fasting, the sacraments and worship and study are all means of allowing our ashen selves to be made into something way better than even a diamond. We can become God's own masterfully created image, what we were created to be from the first place, the image of Christ. That's a transformation that is both free and priceless at the same time. And so tonight, we come together as Christians, and often, you know, Ash Wednesday services are usually the least populated service of the whole year. You've surprised us. You've surprised us. It's not like Easter, you know, because people don't want to walk around with that mark on their forehead. To be told that you're mortal. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. It marks us. And it reminds us at the beginning of where the journey takes us toward Easter, toward new life. We use the ashes from palm leaves from the previous year that are burned and then crushed into ash. And that's what we use to mark each other. I had a friend of mine who on Ash Wednesday one year didn't have any palm ashes. So he went out to his fireplace. And he took some ashes out of the fireplace and crushed them up and took them and used them instead. Well, there's a problem with that. And the problem is that wood ash is what lye is made out of, lye soap. So he marked all these people with the sign of the cross on their forehead, and they noticed it burning. And when they got home and they washed it off, the red cross was still there. But what a perfect example of how this marks us as disciples of Jesus Christ. It marks us as people who recognize our mortality. It marks us as people who recognize that life is precious and not something to be squandered away. It reminds us, just like our baptism reminds us, that we belong to Christ. And so tonight, as we receive those ashes, may we be reminded, dust we came, to dust we shall return. But not forever. Not forever. Amen.
As we prepare to receive the ashes, we join together in a prayer of confession. And it's from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17. It's page 785 in the United Methodist Hymnal. And you remain seated and we'll read together responsively as we pray. And let's pray together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Behold, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Make me hear with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Deliver me from death, O God, God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. For you have no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. It's a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Pause for a moment of silent reflection.
Palm Sunday ashes remind us of the fleeting glory of fame. Now, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that day to the shouts of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But we know the story that by the end of that week, he was nailed to a cross. Death becomes a reality, even for God. But that's the good news as well. For we know that the God that we worship, the Christ whom we love, has been through death and come out the other side. We receive these ashes as a reminder that we are mortal, but the resurrection is what we look forward to. As we enter these 40 days of Lent, may the mark of these ashes, even though they fade from our foreheads, be a reminder to us that death is defeated and that life is what we have to look forward to. The ashes help to remark us and remind us, too, that we are sinners. That's not an easy mark for us to bear. Hard for us to admit, but we are. And so when we read in Psalm 51, as David prays, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Tonight we recognize where we're dirty, where we need cleaning. And these 40 days give us an opportunity to move in the right direction. And so let us pray. Lord, we ask you to pour out your spirit upon us tonight. May these ashes remind us of our mortality. May they remind us. May they remind us that you have defeated death. And yet we still deal with it. Help us to use our lives wisely in the service of your kingdom. May we not build our own monuments. May these ashes remind us that everything we do for you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to invite you to come forward as you feel led to receive the mark of ashes. The traditional way to do that is to receive them on your forehead. But if you choose not to do that tonight, that's fine. Just hold out your hand and we'll mark your hand for you this evening. And we invite you, Barbara's going to play a little bit for us while we do this. And we invite you just to be in an attitude of prayer as we share this special moment together as we mark one another with this sign of the cross. From dust we came, to dust we shall return. Amen. Try to remember that you are dust. The ashes remind us that we are sinners. We pray our prayers of confession, and that's what we do during Lent. It's a time of penitence, a time of repentance when we turn to God. But tonight as we gather here and receive these ashes, reminders of our mortality, reminders of our sin, we also are reminded of the good news that in Christ Jesus, you and I are forgiven people. Let us go forth and live as those who have been given the gift of God's grace. And may we share it with others. Amen. Let us stand together as we sing our closing hymn.